They were in the exam hall. Listen to this. They were in the exam hall. And you know the way students can be quite irresponsible. Many people listening to me have, may the Lord forgive you. Amen. All right. So bullet was flying. What they call bullet? Anyway, internet connection, networking. Use any name you like for it. People were networking and networking and networking. And this man who gave his life to Christ, I'm telling the story, all right? Telling his story now, was there. And he noticed one guy sitting there squarely. He also did not know the course like everybody else. He sat down there and the bullets were flying. He wouldn't turn. People would whisper, he just kept, he faced his paper, didn't ask anybody for help, for nothing. He just, in righteousness, either failed or passed the exam. I don't know. Then this young man came to fellowship one day, the same campus. And as he entered, who did he see holding the microphone? That guy who sat down in class that day, refusing to cheat with anybody. He said he didn't listen to anything. He was just waiting for them to ask people to give their lives to Christ. Why? Because that guy was a witness. Are you getting my point? Then listen, you can preach 100 messages. He was in class. He saw that this guy refused to cheat. Listen, God was described as the God of Abraham, the God of the fear of Isaac. That's how Jacob described him. And I spent before that. You know what that means? It means that when you saw Isaac, you knew something was pushing him. You left your money with Isaac, he wouldn't take it. He'll come and give you back. Isaac wouldn't cheat you when you have the opportunity. Why? Because he knew somebody was watching him. And for that reason, God was called the fear of Isaac. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, a witness is a person whose character is describing the nature of God. I hope you're following what I'm saying. There's an epidemic of religion in Nigeria right now. You know that? There's an epidemic. It's a problem. I'm sorry. It's a real problem. Because Ardo Bishambak said something once. He said, you inoculate people with religion, they get resistance to the real faith. I mean, if you know a bit of medicine, you know how we, how doctors, you know what they call vaccines? Yes. A vaccine is actually the disease, but in a low state. So we give you a small disease. You catch a small disease. It doesn't hurt you much. The day the real disease comes, you are resistant to it. So Aldo B. Schambach said, that's the problem. That people have been inoculated with Christianity. You give them small religion. They think they are Christians. They go to church. They pay their tithes. They give offerings. First fruits every January. Therefore, when you tell them about real faith, they have no understanding. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Listen, I think in Nigeria today, there's an epidemic. We have a serious problem. I wish, let me not wish for things I don't understand. Let me keep quiet. But really, there's a serious problem. People have said all the time that, how come you guys go to church a lot? Nigerians are so religious. Yes, Nigeria is so corrupt. The truth is that religion never solves the matter of corruption. Religion and Christianity are not the same things. They are not. I was talking with one of my our brethren a few days ago. I think it was yesterday. And these are the things we are talking about. That we pastors, we even celebrate corruption. That is what I mean. Do you get my point? That is, look, I know you. You don't have much money. Then you go to Abuja one day, you come back and give me a tithe of 15 million and I don't ask questions. That's called celebration of corruption. Listen, I said to you before, testimony is not what you got to, it's how you got it to. Listen, anybody can get anything. It's how does the testimony. Are you following what I'm saying? Testimony is not what. The problem these days is that we emphasize on what. Come on, give your testimony. In fact, the lady I was talking to, one of our brethren I was telling you about, she said in their church, or somewhere she went to, one young woman came to testify. Praise the Lord. The summary of the testimony is that she now has a two-bedroom flat, a two-bedroom bungalow, a house. I know it's her own. How did you get it? I praise the Lord. An uncle gave it to me. Amen. And she got worried and ask the pastor, say, please, we demand clarification. A young single girl gets a two-bedroom bungalow in Abuja or somewhere, and it's a man that gave it to her. In Nigeria, you are stupid to let her testify without giving clarification. No, I want to know. Listen. He said, Pastor Banks, what I'm saying is that most girls who get such things are involved in illicit activities. And by the time you mount a pulpit, please just clarify. Praise the Lord. One day I was going home. I saw one man was stranded. I helped him pack his bag that fell down. Then one day we discovered that I was a homeless girl. And God spoke to him in reward for the thing I did 2 nights ago. He now gave me a house. It's good. We've heard it. But to just give him a testimony of the house and you walk away, a man gave you a house. This 2010 in modern day Nigeria. You ain't mounting my pulpit to share that testimony. I will dissect it. I want his phone number. I'm going to call him. Okay, what's the relationship with this girl? She's my church member. You give her a house. Is it true that her father is your brother? Who give birth to you? Where is your birth certificate? Come on, intimidate with testimony. That is why, listen, we can't preach to anybody. Recently, they were telling me about, you know, there was a time some banks, you know, small trouble entered some banks recently in Nigeria. They said, they are persecuting us. I was looking. This is persecution. You can call it anything you like. There's a fine line to divide what is persecution and what is judgment. Yes. Sometimes you are misbehaving, God judges you. Ignoring must say is persecution. What is persecution? Did they lie? Did they lie against you? What persecution are you telling me? But this point I make it, I say, listen, brethren. Some of the, I'm not mentioning any name. You hear name from my mouth? Some of the people that were judged, you know their problem? They be senior manager for bank. For a young woman, married woman self, to get promotion, you have to sleep with the man. The man is a senior pastor. He's a senior manager and a senior pastor. On Sunday, praise the Lord. Who has a testimony to share unto the Lord? And all the devils, they come to church. It's the networking zone. There's nothing real going on. It's networking. Who will give his life to Christ? I'll give my life to Christ because my job be that. I mean, we all know what goes on in the offices. You come to, look, that's what I mean by epidemic of Christianity. Everybody goes to church on Sunday. Nobody's repenting of evil works. And we pass on, oh, there are a lot of jagudas who roll around. They call themselves. But as I was driving down just now, one man kind of, you know, block route for me. When I saw the collar on his neck, I look and say, you think I should respect you because you wear collar? Dogs wear collar. What's your problem? They'll brandish your collar. Want to harass me. No, you see, God forgive me, Sha. Sometimes I vex. Sometimes I vex. I vex because, you see, people keep on saying that Nigerians go to church, but the country is not better. Because we, pastors in church, we don't want the country to be better. We don't. That's why we do special thanksgiving when you are appointed minister. Praise the Lord, one of us is now a minister. Amen. They give your testimony. What you are with us is giving the testimony. Okay, now they get security vote for ministry. Now they get, this is the title. This is, we brought you up, you bring your tithe down here. That is, as we are saying it, what is going on in our minds? All right, that, well, this church will finally be able to roof it. Amen? You are now a minister. Praise God. You know what? In church, we'll have more jobs, more contracts. We expect to have more millionaires. Listen, I need to say it, all right, so that we, in case we did not realize it is evil, all right, let us know it is wrong. If they appoint you a counselor, governor, minister, where I did, all right? I will thank God for you. But the boy, we will talk. What's the talk? It's a bottle of oil in the midst of bread. And I will write my vows, which you will take, upon which I will bless you that you may succeed. I've said it before. Listen, if the body of Christ really want to feel, they want the world to feel their effects. When a man becomes a governor and is a member of your church, write your own vow for him. You know the way we ordained ministers. You will get up and recite stuff. Then they will pour oil on you. Then you go and say, hey, I'm an ordained minister. Now, in the same manner, I think you need more ordination if you are becoming a governor in Nigeria. You do. We should bring you forward. Instead of rejoicing for you, we should be feeling bad for you. Let me tell you the truth. The way our country is now, you have no reason to smile and congratulate your friend who becomes a governor. No. It's more of, oh boy, how are you going to manage? How are you going to cope? We'll be praying for you. Okay, three of us every week, 30 minutes. Only you. You are the prayer point. Because it's not easy. What am I trying to say? Unconsciously, what we do is we celebrate corruption. Do you understand my point? Then I said that the world is not repenting. Why should they repent? There's nothing. Look, listen, we are not witnesses. I was telling last time, there are people, they will tell me testimonies that if that one is a Christian, then I don't ever want to be a Christian. And what do they mean? There's persecution for righteousness' sake. All right? But this is not persecution for righteousness, it's persecution for wickedness' sake. I've worked with people who are intensely religious. But the general gist is that this man does not want anybody to progress. He will never help you. If you are progressing, he's sad. The only thing he does is to condemn you and condemn you and condemn you. Preach from now till tomorrow. You are a bad witness for Christ Jesus. You are not witnessing for him. You should enroll in the court of Satan. You are a very good reflection of what Christ Jesus is, of what the devil is, if you behave like that. A very good reflection of what the devil is. One of the problems I have with Christianity these days, I know that the epidemic we have is a serious disease. I've seen it a lot, especially money matters. There are people that only their pastors know they are generous. If you're like that, you ain't serving God, you are serving Satan. Let me say it again, so that you know it was not a slip of tongue. Satan doesn't mean you are worshiping at a shrine. It means you have missed the will of God. If your pastor is the only person who knows you are generous and you give, if the testimony of the fact that you're a giver only comes from the mouth of your pastor, you ain't serving God. Go and read my book, How to Work for God and Grace to Prosper. I explain those things in there. Because, you see, that's idolatry. When all your good works are done around the institution called church, that's idolatry. You never go late for workers' meeting in your church, but in your office, now lie, you will never go on time. You are a bad witness of Christ Jesus. You know, like I was saying the other time, you're a woman. Huh? Pastor, well done, sir. Well done, sir. God bless you, sir. You're so respectful and nice. In fact, when you come to report your husband to the pastor, he thinks this man must be wicked. Such an angel of a woman. This man is just punishing her like this. Because in his presence, you don't kneel down, sharp, sharp. The kind kneel down when you not kneel down for your papa. You don't kneel down for your father, no. But when you get to church, carry the pastor's bag. Where else, sir? You want to sit down, you don't carry this thing. Clean the chair for him. Sit down. You want water, sir? Running up and down. Matter ministry. You get my point? Just running up and down. If you are like that, listen to me. You are a bad witness for Christ Jesus. If your father is an unbeliever, he will never repent. Why should he? The other time, Ken Katas was telling me a story. Many of you should know Ken Katas. All right. About some programs they're doing in Port Harcourt. One day, I think one boy's father or the mother came to look for him. That, what did you give my son to drink or to eat? The boy has gone crazy. Now, listen to what happened. The boy was a certified bad boy. You know those ones, he said, you shall receive power. You shall be my witnesses, you know, after the Holy Spirit has come. Yes, there are some people who have received power after the evil spirit has come. And they are just bad, you know, bad. Bad boys, cult boys, secondary school boys, though. Evil spirits wearing human flesh. Then one day, the boy came home. He woke up in the morning, instead of rushing out early or going about his runs, he gathered his father's clothes, sat down, and began to wash. The man looked like Something is going on here. Something's happening. Something is going on here. The boy is sweep, you know, wake up, greet somebody. Ah. Hey. First day, he do am. Second day, he do am. Third day, he do am. Ah. The only time he goes out now is for, to go to this strange place where they gave you something to smoke or to drink. That has turned his head like, finally, father got up and went there. What are people doing here? Because I don't recognize this fellow anymore. The one I know was possessed of the whole evil spirit from his mother's womb. Do you understand? But the one I see right now has totally become a new creature. So what are people doing? They say the boy believed in who? In Christ Jesus. The father will join now. The father will join. I remember we had a neighbor does this many, many years ago when I was much younger at home. In the morning, he tell his wife, "Foolish woman, come on, idiot. Come on, let us go to church now. You can't deny me from going to heaven." Now I laughed to myself. I said, "Hey, yes, maybe you want to leave hell and go to heaven, because as it is right now, he could abuse and say, "Uluri Buruku, just come inside the car, let us go so that you won't deny me the passport to heaven." Hey. Now, please, I hope you get my point. But we are like this a lot of times. Then you go and learn how to preach. They say, "We are going door to door. Coco, coco." Praise God. I hope you know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth. Say, "I know." And that the name of the wonder is Mary. Say, "That's a story. Go on." And if you don't repent, you will likewise perish. I've heard it before. Have you finished? Yes. I have witnessed, though, your blood is off my hands. You understand my point? You're a very bad witness. You are preaching. Are you getting my point? Preaching is to declare that which you have witnessed, that which you know. But being a witness is for you to represent and reflect the nature of that Christ that you are preaching. You are in the office. People have problems. You can't help them. Say, "Why?" You say, "You know, in our church we are building. So I have vowed half of my salary for this month towards that building project. Don't worry, God will help you. The person is sick." You now come next week, say, "Ah, praise God, we are doing a program in our church. Will you come?" You to go to your church. I told you, know, you heard me say before that, you know, God doesn't go to church. You've heard me say before. Yeah, he doesn't go to church, all right? He goes to workplaces, he goes to homes, he goes to the streets, he goes around. When he wants to mark people's behavior, he doesn't come to church, because he knows even the devil buys white when he's going to church. Everybody that comes to church is well behaved. You that nobody can talk to you. You drive rough, you do everything wrong. When usher say, "Please sit down here," he said, "Thank you very much." Once he's an usher. But if he's your office, say, "Please park here." "Why should I park there?" "Okay, please." He said, "Listen, you this bloody gate man. Do I look like your mate?" And tomorrow you hand him a tract. He may be a gate man, he's a man. He has pride. Are you getting my point? Listen, he too, there's a sense of manhood inside. You can't just be insulting him anyhow. I told you when he said a man is very humble. See, that man is very humble. In church, he carries chair. I said, "Get away." Kind of stupid humility is that one. Who won't carry church in chair? Carry chair in church. Or carry something somewhere, sha. Want to see a humble man, go to his office. He's a DJ. Let him carry chair there. That's when I know humility. Every idolater bows down before a shrine. You don't know that? All the adulterers you see in town go to the shrine they go to. The babalawo is poorly dressed. He said, "Kneel down." He will kneel down. "Bring your head." He will whip his head with leaf. After he has dipped in the blood of a poisonous snake. Does he complain? No, it's not humility that you came to church and you bowed your head. You are looking for something. Does everybody stand up right now? You will stand up. I want to bless you. Raise your right leg. That's how everybody... you will raise your right leg. It is when the secretary in your office passes a note that there's a meeting at 12 o'clock. Everybody be seated by 5 to 12. That's when we know whether you are humble or you are not humble. Are you getting what I'm saying? You cannot be a jagudantero in your neighborhood. Then you're chief usher in church. Where are you going to preach? Listen. There's a principle about preaching. You are first preaching in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then all the uttermost part of the world. When you're a crook in Okunanu, you now come to GRA to come and preach. That's not the will of God. You have jumped Judea. You've jumped Samaria. You have not gone to the uttermost part of Enugu State where they don't know your urukuruku behavior. You want to witness for Christ? Listen, the people who really, when they use the word Christian, is the people around you that should know whether you're a Christian or you are not. Because you see this church, where would they go? And you know, I like the language that we speak Christianese. Praise the Lord. Every child, the first thing he learns is how to say what? Hallelujah. The Lord is good all the time. Bless you, sir. Amen. It is well. This year is my year of breakthrough, my year of this year. You go and buy the sticker. Believe it or not, I'm a child of God. It's a good sticker because we actually don't believe it. You understand what I'm saying? It's a very good sticker. Crooks, you use it. Believe it or not, I'm a child of God. Yeah. I can't believe it. You're a thief. Yes, I can't believe it. Any money that enters your hand, you need to may I not give you too many G's. Let me keep quiet and preach my message. What am I going to say? First of all, listen, a witness, all right? The real witness of Christ is not first known by what he says. It's first known by how his life or her life has been transformed by the relationship he or she has with God through Christ Jesus. That's the first thing about being a witness. Are you getting my point? Instead of settling down and learning how to cram the messages to preach, to turn people around. No, you don't need it. First, let the word enter you. A place like Nigeria of today. Listen, this is how you will be a witness. Because I say all the time, life is a battle of words. Life is always talking. You cannot be responding like every Guru Maharaji follower. And you want to preach to the Guru Maharaji man. You can't talk like a Muslim and you want to tell him that he should give his life to Christ. For what? The message you are preaching has not affected you. He's afraid of tomorrow, you're afraid of tomorrow. He believes he doesn't go to America, he can never prosper. You believe the same thing. See, this job is not my father's business. You say the same thing. You all conspire against your boss behind his back. Then after that, you now say, today's our day of witness. Amen? You have to give your life to Christ. And the guy looks at you. Listen, he can be resistant because he's a stubborn man, I know. But first of all, at least give him something to resist. You have not even given him anything to resist. You just want him to change the assembly he goes to. No, that's what you're asking. This is where you go normally. Don't go there again. Come this way. That's why I said, listen, first of all, go and read the scriptures. People used to come and Nicodemus came by what? By night. Don't look. Master, I beg, no vex. You know, publicly, I couldn't come. No one can behave like this except God is with him. Do you get my point? He was the one that came seeking. Listen, if indeed we become witnesses, people will come to seek. Are you getting my point? The one that we're always the ones pursuing. Go and check it. Philip, people gave attention to him. Because of the miracles that were done by his hands. What am I going to say? The people gave attention to him, not him trying to chase them down. I think we put our emphasis in the wrong places. I think maybe for now, you know, Jesus said, before you remove the speck in somebody's eye, come on the roko tree that fell inside your retina. I think before we start preaching, we should first preach to ourselves. Are you getting my point? Let people start asking questions about your life. Why are you like this? Because actually that's the easiest way to preach. Then you give an explanation. You know, I was watching on TV some time ago. That's a program. The person was talking about it was the story of the life of this man. They were analyzing the life of George Foreman. If you've seen George Foreman in recent years, over the last 10, 15 years, you see, he's a happy man. Do you understand my point? He even fought, I think it was Mike Mora or somebody, and he beat the person, and an old man, he was 40-something, or is he had even reached 50 or something, I'm not so sure. But, you know, he fought Mike Mora, I think a few years ago, and knocked him out. It was not as fast as he used to be, alright, but he still has a killer punch. So he was just taking all the beating. Then finally he landed one bad one on that guy. That guy went out. And no, that's it. That is, look, listen. I mean, he fought Holyfield. That was many years ago. Holyfield was much younger. And I think it was a draw or something. Or Holyfield managed to win on point. And I watched a bit of the match. Holyfield had to be dodged. That is like, run for your life. You will run. Then quickly land one and run away. Because if four man hits you with one, you're dead. So the day he finally met, I think it was Mike Morales, one of the other guy. And he gave the guy one bad one. After taking all the punches that guy was throwing, and finally landed one wicked one, the guy went out. That was the end of the fight. Now, that's how Foreman used to fight and beat everybody. Went for Olympics, won the gold medal. After that, he went pro and was knocking everybody out. Then finally, Ali planned for him in what was known as the Rumble in the Jungle. Ali watched the guy and said, this guy can't last long. He's a hard hitter, but he doesn't have stamina. So Ali went in there, prepared for Foreman properly. What he did was just to rest. Foreman fought and fought and fought. For the first few rounds, he was beating Ali. I heard this later. He ruptured Ali's kidney with blues. Beat Ali badly, but Ali just refused to go down. And finally, when he was tired, Ali now went for him. Ali now beat him thoroughly. Now, that's not the story. The story is not about the details of the fight. But that was his first loss in life. After that, that was the end of Foreman. He went into deep depression. That is, the man, as far as he was concerned, his life had ended. He had never lost. His fights didn't used to go beyond the first two rounds. Who are you? The heavyweights that beat Ali, he knocked all of them out in one or two rounds. Foreman's blow was hard. But this is the point. When Ali beat him, they said the man went into depression. For years, he was not the same again. Now, what I'm telling the story is that the man who was saying it, the man said that when I see Foreman now, this I think was his coach or something, and that this man can live like he's living now, then I know indeed something happened to him. I don't know what I heard I said. Foreman is not a happy man. You understand my point? I mean, he has a TV show, he mentors young people and all of that. And you ask him what happened. He will tell you that they preached the gospel to him. He gave his life to Christ. And that's how he recovered. And his coach testified. He said, when I see this man now, and I compare him to what he used to be after Ali beat him, then I know that indeed something happened to him. Because he said, the guy was so devastated. They didn't believe he could recover. They must have tried all kinds of things. Psychiatrists, drugs, alcohol. He would have tried a lot himself. Then his friends would have tried all those psychiatrists and therapy and, check into rehab. The way they fool them, all the celebrities. We're deceiving you. Check into rehab. Tell you to give your life to Christ. Say, check into rehab. Let me not go into that side. Then finally, this man gave his life to Christ. And his life really changed. Now he doesn't need rehab. He's the one rehabilitating people. So those who knew him said, if this could happen to this man, indeed, he really believes something. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what they call witnesses. That's what they call what? Witnesses. Now, I want to explain something, which I've taught us here before. Now, God is very big. What I mean big, and I don't mean mileage, not measuring his diameter. What I mean is that there's the length, the breadth, the width, the depth of the person of God. Are you getting my point? He fills all things. He fills the whole universe. What that means simply is that if you look at Neptune, you know what's the Neptune? One of the planets in our solar system. If you look at Mercury, you look at the sun, look at the northern star. There is something that they each say about God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now listen. But the most important descriptors of the person of God is you and I. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why he will say he's a God of Abraham, he's a God of Isaac, and he's a God of Jacob. Then you will now see Paul, Peter and co. describing him, calling him the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The simple thing is that you can never identify God except through people. That's the only way you know him. That's the way he is. You can't make an image of him. You can't.